How do you do? If you've ever needed rest and seen only no vacancy signs, you'll understand how the man in this story felt. There seemed to be no place for him. He was blind to the fact that the vacancy was in his soul. But someone was knocking on the door of his heart, ready to give him peace. When he opened the door, his heart and mind and life were unshackled.
Okay, Jim, we're on next. You ready?
Ready as I'll ever be.
All right, folks, you're gonna love our group tonight. Country music just the way you like it. A sensation all over Canada. Stomp your feet and welcome from Wisconsin, the Good Old Boys!
You were a real hit, Jim.
Yeah, it seemed like it. Big crowd?
You kidding? The place was packed.
Sounded like it.
Pity you couldn't see them. That love song you sang had people blinking away tears.
Everybody's looking for love.
How about you? Got somebody special back home?
Nah, nobody wants a blind man.
This is Unshackled. True life stories of real people, dramatized and produced in Chicago by the oldest, continuously operating rescue mission in the country, Pacific Garden Mission. Homeless people come from everywhere, from all walks of life, and from nowhere. From dark alleys and bright hopes gone wrong. Folks at the mission are faithful and wise servants and give them meat in due season. Thanks to friends who send financial gifts to keep the doors open, they also give them fresh clothing and a safe place to rest, even medical and dental treatment in the mission clinic, all without charge to resident guests. More important than filling their hollow stomachs is filling their hollow souls. And mission pastors and counselors show them the way to new life, the way of peace they have not known before. Those who choose to go forward find the peace that passes understanding. And that's what this program celebrates, going out to the world in 14 languages. Now for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 3266 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
What are you looking for?
The electric outlet. Oh, I thought I knew where it was. I can't find it.
Want me to plug in the cord for you?
No, I'm plugging in myself. Nobody touches my equipment but me.
Whatever you say. I'm just trying to be helpful.
Okay. I didn't mean to snap at you.
Don't apologize. My feelings aren't hurt.
Glad to hear it. Now, just tell me where that plug-in is.
About 2 feet to the right of where you're standing, and it's maybe 4 inches off the floor.
Oh, I can't find it.
I said 2 feet to the right of where you're standing. You're reaching to the left.
Some days, I don't know my right hand from my left.
Happens to everyone. You're a real war zone inside, aren't you?
So what if I am?
Nothing. Hey, after you get set up, would you like to have a sandwich and a cup of coffee?
No, I'd like a tumbler of vodka on the rocks.
Sorry, I'm not the bartender. My job is food.
Well, I'm not hungry.
If you ask me... You're one of the hungriest people I ever met.
I didn't ask you.
Fair enough. But if you change your mind about the sandwich and coffee, let me know.
The man in our story was a blind musician, playing country music in small bars. This is the story of how his vision and his vocation were transformed. The true testimony of James Gale's classic story on Unshackled.
I was 20 years old then. 5 years had passed since I lost my vision in an accident, when Dad and I were hunting and he accidentally peppered me with buckshot. We never talked about the mishap, though I know he felt guilty. After the shooting, I couldn't drive or play sports. All I could do was play music, which I did in bars across the U.S. and Canada. My unhappy life was coming to a crisis.
You ready for that coffee and sandwich today?
Don't bother. I'm not worth the trouble.
No bother. I've already set you up in a booth. Better sit down before the coffee gets cold.
Lead me to it. Thank you. That was very good.
Even without the vodka?
I had enough last night. Maybe more than enough.
I guess that's one good thing about having a glass eye.
What's that?
No matter how much you drink, it never gets bloodshot.
I don't remember.
You don't have much peace of mind, do you?
I don't have any. Some days I hate myself.
Tell me something. How do you stand with God?
Yeah, I'm not even sure anymore if there is a God.
No wonder you don't have any peace of mind.
I don't understand.
If you don't believe in God, then you have to believe you're an accident.
Not just an accident, a disaster.
You probably think you have no purpose in life. Like a fly drunk on a garbage heap, waiting to be swatted.
Swatted? You mean death?
Jim, God made you for a purpose. Everything that happens to you, even your blindness, can turn out for your good and His glory.
I'm blind because of a shotgun. Did God do that?
No, Jim. But the Bible says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts," says the Lord.
Very comforting.
God loves you, Jim. He has a purpose for your life. Why don't you find out what it is?
How?
Ask Him to show you, and He will. God says in the Bible, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart."
I couldn't see her, but listening to her, I began to weep. For a moment, I envisioned the beauty of blue skies again. I went back to my room and played the only gospel song I knew on the guitar. I didn't know that Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." As I sat strumming and singing, I saw a golden glow and realized that God was dealing with me personally. Then I began listening to Bible teachers on Christian radio and pondered the teachings about God. A longing for Him was born. Then I went to church on Sunday with the kids of my bass player.
Brothers and sisters, it's a mystery hard to grasp, but Jesus Christ, God's only Son, who lived a life without sin, became sin for us so we could receive His righteousness. Hallelujah. And when you believe that Jesus died for your sins and you repent and ask Him to save you, He will. The greatest transfer in history took place at the cross. Your damnation for God's holiness, God's requirement for justice, was satisfied because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh. Galatians chapter 2 says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." It is a mystery that we can't understand until we are born again. Colossians chapter 1 says, "Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints." What is that mystery? Christ in you, the hope of glory. There is no other way to God but through Jesus Christ. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me."
At the end of the service, he asked if there was anyone present who wanted to receive Christ. Knowing I was a sinner in need of salvation, I raised my hand, went forward, and prayed. God gave me such peace.
You are now a child of God, Jim. The Bible says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Find a Bible-teaching church and read the Bible.
I'm legally blind.
You can buy a recorded version of the New Testament on tape and listen to God's Word.
I will. I can't believe how different I feel.
Oh, burdens are lifted at Calvary. But the devil will come against you, Jim. God warns us in 1 Peter chapter 5, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour.
I hate to have to leave now, but our band is moving to a new town tomorrow.
I'll give you the address of a good church, and I'll call ahead and let them know you're coming.
I had God's peace and joy in my life, and I told people how I had received Christ as my Savior. We continued to play in nightclubs and bars, staying in one place for 2 weeks, then moving on to the next town. I kept going to church wherever we performed, but God's peace would leave me during the performances. One night after I'd witnessed about my faith in Christ, a woman came to me and said, "If you know the Lord, what are you doing in this place?" A Bible passage came to mind. "Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you." I knew what I had to do.
You can't leave. You're under contract.
I gave notice 2 weeks ago.
But we haven't found a replacement for you.
I'm sorry, but I have to leave. I must serve the Lord the rest of my life. I can't hang out in bars singing about the ways of the world.
Have you forgotten about the $100 you owe me?
No, but we haven't been paid this week.
Too bad. You know what the Bible says. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. I'm keeping your equipment.
It's worth $2,000.
So?
Fine. God will take care of me.
God will take care of you, Jim.
I just had to leave. The Lord was calling me to separate from worldly things.
Praise God. Many are called, but few are chosen.
I've never in my life been as certain of anything as I am about this.
Where will you go?
Home, to a church in Cameron, Wisconsin. The first place I heard the gospel.
We'll give you the money for a ticket, Jim.
Shortly, we'll hear the conclusion of Jim's story. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. This is the goal for those who love God, for the men and women in the Bible program at Pacific Garden Mission. Turning lives around is the goal at the mission, and God's word accomplishes that purpose, helping them grow in knowledge of the right way. They study God's word and learn His wisdom for as long as a year, full time, putting into practice God's truth. There hath not failed one word of all His good promise. And graduates of the Bible program go into the world armed and ready to battle deception and temptation. For those who can't attend a Bible program, Pacific Garden Mission has a 6-lesson Bible study on the Gospel of John, a correspondence course that can be done at home and is completely free. All that's needed is a Bible and a longing to understand God's Word and purpose for each life. To begin this Bible study, simply write and ask for the first lesson. As each one is completed and returned, we'll send the next lesson. Write to Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. That address again, Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org.
I shared the gospel with my parents when I returned to Wisconsin in December of 1971. Mom had gone to a mainline church, but she didn't know Christ as her Savior. Dad had never gone to church.
What are you going to do now, Jim?
Whatever the Lord leads me to, Dad. I'd like to learn more about the Bible so I can tell others about Jesus.
Can you make a living doing that?
The Lord will provide what I need.
It's a tough world out there.
I know, Dad, but Jesus gave me hope when I had none.
He really is the Son of God who died for our sins. I even quit drinking.
Oh, don't become a fanatic, son.
I hope I do. I wish you'd go to church with me sometime and hear the gospel.
I've never been religious, Jim. You know that.
You need Jesus, Dad. You don't want to die and go to hell.
I don't believe in hell, Jim. I believe this life is all there is.
Your belief doesn't change God's truth, Dad. Heaven and hell are real. Realizing your heir after death will be too late.
I continued to pray for my parents. Mom thought she was okay because she'd gone to church. At the church where I first heard about Jesus, I met Bernice.
I'm glad to meet you, Jim.
I hear you're a bass player.
Yes, I'm from Nashville. I play gospel music in the USO for the troops. I've played in 9 countries and 38 states.
You're a real trooper. I just left show business, but nothing like that. I was part of a small secular band touring Canada.
What kind of music?
We played country music in bars, but after my salvation, I couldn't do that anymore.
I'm so glad you're saved and not playing in nightclubs now. You did the right thing. How did you meet Jesus, Jim?
Of all places, in a motel restaurant in Canada. A cook challenged me to turn to Jesus, and I began my search. Christian radio led me to a church, and there God saved me.
He lives, and Jesus promises to manifest himself to anyone who loves him.
He sure did.
I'll teach you some more gospel songs if you like.
Oh, I'd love that.
I have 5 brothers, and 3 of them are gospel singers in a group. Why don't you come to the church tomorrow? I'll teach you some new songs.
We became friends, and the pastor invited us to play and sing during a service. On March 17th, we married. She had 2 children that I adopted, and they became mine. The pastor mentored us, teaching us to dig deeper into God's Word and apply it to our lives.
Well, the Bible on tape is really helping you memorize verses, Jim.
I love God's Word, Pastor.
2 Timothy chapter 2 says plainly, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth."
So you're ready for any opportunity.
Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine.
If I did that to my dad, he'd be turned off for sure.
You'd be surprised, Jim. The Bible says the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any 2-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
I'm never going to give up on Dad, that's for sure. Jesus said, "With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible."
Oh, that's right. What else have you memorized?
"He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him." John chapter 14.
Very good.
And 1 John chapter 3? "We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death."
For a while, Bernice and I traveled with an evangelist from Oklahoma who loved country music. So we played at his services and gave our testimony. As we sang in churches, God provided our financial needs so I could study with a Bible school in Des Moines. Then I got a bachelor degree from a Bible college in Arizona. During that time, we had 2 daughters. My in-laws in Wisconsin introduced me to a preacher who ministered in the Eau Claire jail. He asked me to serve with him by singing to the inmates before he preached. Those days we went from cell to cell. In time, I had my own jail ministry that I described to my dad.
Some people deserve to be in jail, Jim.
I'll grant you that, Dad, but the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
A man can be decent without believing in God.
It won't get him into heaven, though, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus.
So you say.
So the Bible says.
Jail, huh? Talk about a captive audience.
I tell them what Jesus said to Nicodemus, which is God's requirement to all. Ye must be born again. But first they have to admit they're sinners and repent of their sins. Then they have to ask the Lord Jesus to forgive them.
And they do? Right there in front of all the other guys?
Yep. God never calls anyone to secrecy.
Well, how do you know they've responded?
I have a helper, and he lets me know when someone raises a hand for salvation.
I never thought you'd end up doing something like this, Jim.
Yeah, well, last time I preached in jail, a guy got saved. Come to find out, his mom's a waitress in town.
She told me how he got into drugs and caused havoc in the relationship. God has healed the relationship now.
Well, it's a worthwhile thing you're doing, son.
Where would I be if the cook hadn't shared the gospel with me? There is no thrill like that of leading a person to Jesus Christ. So I've preached at conventions in Canada, on Indian reservations, and at drug rehabilitation centers and prisons. We started a church in Cadott, Wisconsin, that grew. So we bought land and built a sanctuary.
Jim!
Hey, Dad. What are you doing here?
I just come out to see what you're up to.
Building a place to worship God.
If I was younger, I'd pitch in and help.
Thanks, Dad. We have plenty of helpers.
I can see that.
Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain.
And that bar I helped build is still standing.
Yeah, I know.
Your mom said you're going back to Canada next week.
Yeah, just to preach at a convention. I won't be long.
Do you travel alone?
Sometimes. Bernice will drop me at the bus station and someone will meet me up there.
You're amazing, Jim.
No, Dad. Jesus is the amazing one. I can't let my blindness stand between him and others. We ministered at that church for 17 years, and God kept opening doors for us to exalt his name. I constantly pray, asking God to provide opportunities for me to witness about Jesus. Bernice!
Yes, Jim?
You won't believe what happened. As we were getting off the plane, a guy asked us if we were entertainers. I told him I was a preacher and a gospel singer.
And?
Turns out he has that show in Nashville on a showboat. And he invited me to play on the show with him.
That's wonderful, Jim.
Oh, I've been wanting to go there but couldn't afford tickets. So God provided a way.
Isn't that just like the Lord?
Wait till I tell Dad. My father went to Nashville to see me perform, so he heard me give my testimony. Still, he rejected the gospel. He continued to drink and swear and would never set foot in a church. Then, at age 81, he had a heart attack, and doctors performed open-heart surgery.
How is he, Jim?
Barely hanging on, honey.
Oh.
The doctor said his kidneys are shutting down.
That's not good.
No. This could be it, Bernice. I can't let him die without Christ.
You've shared the gospel with him so many times.
I know, but I have to try one more time. Pray. Dad? Dad, can you hear me?
Yeah, Jim.
Dad, this is serious. The doctor said some of your organs are shutting down. You might not make it, Dad. You need to ask Jesus to come into your heart.
Let's pray now, son.
Thank you, Jesus.
We prayed together. Then Bernice and I left the room. And I told my brother that I was going out to the car to pray by myself. Bernice led me to the car where I sat alone, praying for Dad.
Lord, I love my dad so much. Thank you for drawing him to you. Thank you for saving him. Lord, I'd love to have some time with him as a brother in Christ. I'm asking you not to take my dad home yet. If you raise him up one more time, I will teach him your word.
Are you ready to go back up to his room, Jim?
Yes. King Hezekiah was on his deathbed when the Lord gave him more time. Maybe God will give Dad more time, too.
I think I'm over the hump.
Praise the Lord.
Made it just right around the corner.
You and the thief on the cross.
Who?
Two men were crucified beside Christ, and one of them asked Jesus to save him, and Jesus said, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise."
Barely made it.
God is not willing that any should perish. Now, you get some rest, Dad.
Uh-huh.
Dad was 81 years old, and he lived another 7 weeks. Time that I treasured. Time for him to learn more about the great salvation given to him at Calvary's cross. My mom also professed faith in Christ before she died. We never did talk about the hunting accident that left me blind, but I'm glad that God used me to show them Jesus, who is the light of the world, and who gives sight to those who are spiritually blind. I've shared my testimony with thousands of others over the years and seen thousands profess faith in Christ.
You men are here because you're struggling with drug and alcohol addictions. I know about that. I once drank vodka by the glassful and smoked marijuana to escape. I thought my life was hopeless, but I just didn't know Jesus. Jesus said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." The devil tried to kill me many times. When I lost my eyesight, I thought my life was over, but God knew better. When Jesus came into my heart and life, he gave me his vision to rescue the perishing. And he has used my blindness as stepping stones for his purposes.
Bernice and I have served the Lord together for 41 years. We traveled to various foreign countries and ministered throughout the U.S. We play music and minister together, and will continue until he comes. There's no one like Jesus.
And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Do you have eternal life, listening friend? Eternal life begins the moment you trust in Christ Jesus as your Savior. There are no special words, because God looks on your heart. Speaking through the prophet Isaiah, God says, "I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." If you need help in making this crucial decision to put your faith in Christ, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry, www.unshackled.org. A listener emailed us, "I have been so blessed by the testimonies and have told many people about the broadcast." Well, thank you. There's no better way to keep hearing Unshackled. This is program number 3266. Heard in the true story of James Gale, part 2, were Steve Bayorgin, Anna Maria Alvarez, Herb Lichtenstein, Rick Dianofsky, and Brad Armacost. Original music, Scott Griffin. Sound, PGM staff. Engineer, Kim Rasmussen. Script by Kenitha Gabler. And I'm Timothy Gregory. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please write today. Your letter means a great deal to us. The address? Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-492-9410.